What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining me now is Kurt McGahey. He is with the county council, and he's in something of a dust-up with the school system. They say he wants to cut money for schools. He says, no, that's not what he's doing. Break this down for me in a simple way.
All right, Tara. Hey, thanks for having me today. Yes. Well, let's look at it this way. If your budget was $922 a year, and I gave you $28 that a year every year, that's 3% of your budget for the year I gave you. I'm proposing the county council take back $10 that we give you. Now I'm giving you, and so I'll take back, essentially you'll get $18 instead of $28. So that's affecting you by 1% of your total budget for the whole year. Now, what the part they don't want to tell you is that you have a $254 savings account, which is 27% of your total budget. So essentially, it's a big blow up about nothing, essentially. This is 1% we're trying to get back. And what we want to do is we want to make a commitment to the people of Greenville that we're going to start fixing your roads and we're going to concentrate on infrastructure. And this is a place we looked all over the budget. And this is a place we saw that would have no negative effects on anybody. The teachers are not going to not get their raises. The students' education is not going to be hurt. Nothing's going to change. Right now, last year alone, the Greenville County School District had a $78 million overage of its expenditures. So to sit here and say that the kids are going to suffer, I'm taking money from schools. I mean, you should see some of the hate.
What is an overage? What does that mean?
So what they bring in versus what they spent. So they brought in over $1.35 billion last year, and they spent $1.273 billion.
Gotcha.
That means they had $78 million left over at the end of the year. That went to their general fund, which their general fund now sits at $254,807,000. So a $10 million for us to keep that this year and not give them 18 instead of 28, it's not even going to make a blip in their radar. But they're making this huge blow up about the PTAs have gotten, I've gotten calls from friends, I've gotten calls from everybody, but it's really nothing. And at the same time, my kids go to public schools. And that's been another thing I've been accused. All my kids go to private school. They don't. They go to public. What I'd like to tell people, too, is we have to prioritize infrastructure. County Council has been malfeasant for the past 30 years on anything. Just look around on the roads. When I campaigned last year, the number one thing I heard was we need our roads fixed. What are we doing? Slow down development. And we're coming through on that. And we're also going to lower taxes this year. We're lowering it 1.5 mils. We can't do it all at one time, but we can start. And I think the schools are in great financial shape. They do a great job. I'm just saying that $10 million, we can better use it to our roads. And it's not going to hurt them at all. And I challenge anybody to show me that I'm wrong with the numbers. The numbers, that I got all these numbers from their audits. And it's really easy. Anybody can go and check it out.
So this would then, this would be what, like $8 million less for schools?
Correct. But they're sitting on $254 million in the bank. So
and
I,
they had $78 million left over at the end of the year last year that they didn't spend.
Over what they spent, correct. Yeah. What they brought in versus what they spent. And I've heard from teachers, you know, here's another thing. You know, we say about all these great passing rates and how great they're doing. Do you know there's a policy in the Greenville County Schools that we have to pass kids, they can't fail?
Yeah,
we should look into that. I want to look. I've called board members and some know about it, some don't. I've talked to some, and the way I got alerted to that, some teachers called me and told me that because they're not happy about it either. So we claim we have these great graduation rates and all that. Well, how true are they?
Well, and so let me ask you this question. Do you have, are there the votes on county council to move this funding over to roads? The $8 million from school? You think there is? Okay.
I think there is, yes.
Because I know Burke Royster's called you out. He's not happy about it. Now, you say that the school board, in addition to having this, what, you said like $250 million just sitting in the general fund, they have a lot more money beyond that.
Oh, yeah. They have some other money. I mean, they have a lot of assets they sit on. They sit on, they're one of the largest landowners in the county. They have another $80 million as well. So for them to sit there and say that, you know, it's all posturing and fluffing your feathers and all this, it's nothing that's really going to affect anything. And I can't believe it's gotten to this. I thought this was a real easy solution for everybody and a great solution that we could, you know, get some road. It's a win for everybody. The schools keep doing what they're doing. And now we're able as a county, as a community, to come together and say, hey, let's put some money towards infrastructure.
Where, what road would you fix first? If just so I can get in my mind, okay, cut the school funding. Where does it go? Where would it go? Where would you put the money?
Well, we have a list of roads that we keep. State and county rank them by order of how bad they are, the condition and the mm-hmm. usage. And what I'm directing the staff to do now is let's blend that and look at the most heavily used roads in those conditions. Let's rank those and then we'll bring that to county council for a vote because it's, you know, obviously I want the roads in my district fixed because they're in my district and those are the people I represent. But I think as a county council, it's our responsibility to take care of the whole county and say, okay, here's the most heavily used roads and these are the ones that are going to, and they're in the worst condition. Let's fix those first. And we're not going to have a commission or a board, or we're going to say we're going to bring it right to county council. And those of us who are elected have to make those hard decisions.
I wish I could do a poll. I'd love to see a poll on this. What people think about this, if they felt like they had to choose between schools and roads, but you're saying we don't have to choose because they won't have to make any cuts at all.
Correct. There is no choice. And that's the biggest. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm not telling people I'm choosing roads over students or over education. I'm just not doing it. I'm saying that we need to reprioritize some of our money into our infrastructure, and we can do this, and it doesn't hurt schools a bit.
Well, sounds good to me. It's going to be interesting to see if you're able to actually get this through. But I can tell you this, the roads here really, really need work. People just keep piling in here and we're going to be totally gridlocked in the coming years if we don't do something.
And yes, ma'am. We're trying to slow that down too. You know, we're trying to say, hey, the growth has to slow and we have to get our infrastructure out in front of it. And the schools need to get in front of this too. The schools, you know, and I know they're trying. I know I've talked to several board members. They're trying to, where are we going to build the next schools? Where's the growth coming? So there's collaboration going on behind the scenes. I mean, not everything's out in public what's going on. So there is collaboration, but this is something that we need to concentrate on is fixing the roads. And here's another thing. We need safe roads for our buses to drive on. And our people to drive to school and take their kids to school. So I think roads are as important as schools in some sense for the safety of keeping people alive.
Yeah, our roads are definitely dangerous for that. Kurt McGahee, just want to thank you. You are, again, on County Council District 21. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on The Tara Show.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Very rarely something's so good. I'll read it word for word, beginning to end. This editorial in the New York Post this weekend, something every American needs to hear. So I'm going to read it word for word. I almost never do that. Headline, China blinked and Trump clearly won the first round of his tariff war. The opening round of the tariff war with China is over. And earlier this week, President Trump achieved a very clear win. The president had Chinese leader Xi Jinping on the ropes. Trump's 145% tariffs on Chinese goods landed a crushing blow to Beijing's economy, already staggering under the weight of rising unemployment, unsustainable debt, and rising bankruptcies. But instead of giving China a knockout punch, Trump decided to hit the pause button. And it's worth asking why. I wonder the same thing myself. With foreign investment pouring into the U.S., job growth strong and inflation low and falling, Trump was under little domestic pressure to back off Beijing, skittish global markets notwithstanding. Xi Jinping, however, was desperate to make a deal. The past few weeks have seen tens of thousands of Chinese businesses closed and millions of workers laid off. Had the high tariffs continued, over 50% of export companies would have gone under and 30 million workers would have been on the streets. Xi knew that. And with falling property values and shrinking domestic consumption, keeping exports flowing to the U.S. was vital to China's survival. Americans only buy about 16% of China's total export. This is interesting. Americans only buy about 16% of China's total exports, but because we buy in bulk and pay on time, we provide 50% of that sector's profit. So 50% of China's export profit comes from the U.S. I didn't know that. That's devastating. All this is why China, as soon as the tariffs were announced, called for a meeting. Not long after, China's finance minister, Lan Fouan, traveled to Washington, D.C. to meet with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. The meeting was held in the basement of the IMF building and, at China's insistence, kept secret. This meeting paved the way for last week's confab in Switzerland, at which China made some major concessions, reducing its tariff rate on U.S. goods to 10%, and even more important, promising to stop the flow of deadly fentanyl into the U.S. Now, think about this for a minute. And they're pointing this out. This is one of three unbelievable things that happened in that meeting. They admitted they were responsible for the flow into the U.S. and, as a negotiating tool, promised to stop it. Think about that for a minute. Just stop for a minute and think about it. 250,000 Americans dead of fentanyl overdoses, not drug overdoses, that's just fentanyl, since 2017. How many cases have I told you about of kids? They went on TikTok, they went on Instagram, they ordered it, it came to the mailbox, they just wanted Adderall medication for, you know, exams. Kid with no drug problems, dead. Kid thought they were taking an Adderall, kid thought they were handed this pill at this party, bam, dead. They'd seen their friends taking the pills that were in the same pack. It was fine. They were fine. They got the one. They got the Skittle. Dead. 250,000 times. They admit to us in negotiations, yeah, that was us. We killed those people. We'll stop, though. Yeah, we'll stop as part of the trade deal. Or if we don't get a trade deal, we'll just keep killing you. This is what we're dealing with. And people act like this is just a trade dispute. This is a national security. Anyway, I'm going to get heated. Anyway. In response, the U.S. decided to temporarily release its chokehold on China's economy. The tariff on Chinese goods will drop to 30%, enough to generate billions in revenue for the U.S., while giving a little breathing room to that country's exporters. Trump has learned three things from the current slugfest with Xi Jinping. First, he was reminded that China always cheats. China's negotiators in Switzerland admitted they did not honor their original trade agreement with Trump, signed in 2020 because Biden was weak. What does that say to you? It doesn't matter what deal we cut. It doesn't matter. Second Democrats are in office, they'll just disregard it.
But in January 2020, President Trump produced a template. We had an excellent trade agreement with China, and the Biden administration chose not to enforce it. The Chinese delegation basically told us that once President Biden came into office, they just ignored their obligations. So, you know, we all already have a large framework. And to remember here, Jonathan, is that this is a pause down to 10%.
Trump's tariffs forced Xi Jinping's negotiators into a second big admission when, for the first time, they linked fentanyl to the tariff wars. They said they would stop the outflow of the deadly drug and its chemical precursors from China in return for tariff relief. Let me understand this. They said they'd stop killing us as part of the tariff deal. Just so I'm clear. This is an astonishing admission, the New York Post writes. Yes, it is. This is an astonishing admission on Beijing's part, and one that should anger every American, given that the death toll from fentanyl overdoses is approaching 500,000. Yeah, I just used the 250,000 number since 2017. For years on end, the Chinese authorities, who oversee a high-tech surveillance state without parallel in the history of the world, have falsely claimed that they simply had no idea where in China the drug was being produced. Instead, they deflected blame onto the U.S., saying that fentanyl was solely America's problem. Now, by linking fentanyl to tariffs, they have confirmed what many suspected. China could have shut down the fentanyl trade with the Mexican cartels at any time. Fear of renewed tariff hikes may finally force China's cooperation, not just in stopping the fentanyl trade, but in ending the laundering of dirty cartel money through China's banks, and perhaps even in revealing the location of the labs themselves. Trump should demand no less. The final lesson learned from Trump's tariff strategy is that mighty China, the communist giant, supposedly poised to dominate the world of the 21st century, is a paper tiger. In the end, Trump decided not to use America's vast leverage to push China into collapse, with all of the unpredictable consequences that might ensue for the Chinese people in the world. But now he knows he could. And equally importantly, the Chinese leadership knows it too. They also know that this time around, Trump is starting early and still has plenty of time to act if they renege on the deal. Now, interesting. You'd think, okay, well, what are we pushing for here, right? I mean, we just heard from Walmart over the weekend, well, the, you know, tariffs are going to cause prices to go up. That's worth it to me if we get something, if we get somewhere here, because this is not sustainable. We cannot continue empowering China. Can you imagine China, given what I just read to you, as the world's lone superpower? Because that's coming. It can't be. I mean, it can't be. So what is the goal? Over the weekend, Scott Bessent said, we're not going to decouple from China. We're just going to cut a trade deal.
Jake, I think what we're going to see, just like we saw with the UK trade deal, my sense is it's what we'll see with China. We don't want to decouple with China. And President Trump actually wants to open up China for business. So the manufacturing we want to bring back. We had, during COVID, we realized that we had some very strategic shortfalls, whether it was medicines, semiconductors, steel, the other products. So the long-term, the medium-term goal is to bring back these strategic industries as quickly as possible. And I think we will continue trading with China in the kinds of products that these small businesses are talking about at lower tariffs.
What? We're going to cut another deal? Why? So they can ignore it as they've told us they will the next time Democrats are in office? Well, I don't. Look, here's the thing. They're going into a 90-day negotiation period. So if Bessent said, hey, we're going to decouple, we're done with China, I get it. They wouldn't even come to the table. What would be the point, right? So maybe he doesn't mean that. I hope he doesn't mean that. I mean, why are we even doing it? They've never on it. By the way, that was the third deal Trump cut with them, just so we're clear. They didn't honor any of them. In fact, they released COVID. So I don't understand. If we're not going to decouple from China, why are we even bothering? Just Skip the whole thing. Skip the price hike. Skip the tariffs. Just skip it. There's no point. But maybe he doesn't mean it. I hope. I hope he doesn't mean it. I don't know. But I am a little lost by that. Folks, there's really not any words for this Republican bill. I know if you criticize it, you're a rhino. You should just keep your mouth shut, go broke like a good American. But this is unbelievable. I mean, even the Wall Street Journal, their mouth is like hanging open. You could tell by the way they're writing this. And the numbers, oh my gosh. Headline, Wall Street Journal, the stark math on the GOP tax cut plan. It doesn't cut the deficit. Oh, I'll say. Increases it from $2 trillion a year to $3 trillion a year by 2034. Would add $10 trillion to the national debt by 2029. Folks, it's 2025. We're halfway through almost. $10 trillion? For a total of 47? And they're saying it could be as high as 12. By 2029? And folks, it'd be one thing if, you know, the GDP were growing gangbusters or something. Maybe we could just handle it and outgrow it. Moody's just lowered our rating. And now did you see what the Fed is doing? Headline, Federal Reserve quietly buys $44 billion of U.S. treasuries last week. What is that? It's quantitative easing. Except they didn't announce it. It's stealth. MarketWatch writes, why is the Fed quietly buying billions in bonds and hoping nobody notices? Because there isn't the demand for them. So what are they doing? They're printing money, buying the bonds. U.S. Federal Reserve just pulled off something stealthy over 4 days last week without fanfare. The Fed vacuumed up $43 billion in U.S. treasuries. That's $8.8 billion in long-dated 30-year bonds, plus another $34.8 billion earlier in the week. Not exactly small change. Okay, what is going on here? The Federal Reserve is not Trump, okay? That they don't answer to Trump. They're independent. Why is Jerome Powell doing this? What have I told you about Jerome Powell for a very long time? What his entire job is in his mind. He's a corruptocrat. He serves the corruptocrats. He serves the swamp. His job is to keep them in as much money to spend as possible. That's why he told the lie that inflation was just transitory. So we totally could print another $1 trillion and borrow another $1 trillion. He said, no, it's not going to go up. It'll be fine. Well, that was a lie. We were at 4% inflation. Then we went to 9%. Whatever it takes to keep the money printer going, the money tree. Is what Jerome Powell does to keep the political class in cash. Could be fake cash, monopoly money, doesn't matter. That's what he does. So let's see. Moody's is downgrading our rating. The Federal Reserve is out there buying up bonds that, quite frankly, no one wants. And now there's so much shame in it for all of these reasons, they're having to do it quietly. They didn't even announce it. They were hoping nobody would notice. These are things a banana republic does. And when you get to this point, the thing to do is not to keep spending the COVID money again and again and again and again. People don't understand this. And when you see that, just do you remember when the checks went out for COVID? Big checks. I mean, paying businesses to stay home, you know, closed, paying people to stay home, those checks. But it was supposed to be a one-time thing because, you know, COVID, it was an emergency. You know, we're spending that again this year. But checks aren't going out. I often wonder, like, what could they even find to spend that on? Like, what are you even going to do with it? You really have to get creative to find something to do with it. That's how much money we're talking. I mean, did you get a check? My husband's business did. We all did. We got a check. Stay home. Keep the doors closed. Here's your COVID check. We're spending that every year now. They couldn't even cut that. I mean, it is mind-boggling. And this is why you're seeing these things happen right now, because the world is coming to grips with, wow, we thought, you know, the last chance to stop America from going bankrupt was going to be the Republicans, and they're hitting the gas. They're hitting the gas, and God bless, just three objected. Three said, no, we're not going to commit national suicide. I'm going to do something. One of them was Ralph Norman. Thank you, sir. We need to have this conversation, and there is nothing wrong with having this idea of, well, you know, we got to get Trump's agenda through. We do. And we should have had the conversation 3 months ago and gotten it through. This is what I'm hearing now. Well, stop saying that, because you're going to stop it, because we got to get Trump's agenda through. You know what? We can have a debate about this. We can fix the spending problem and we can get Trump's agenda through. We can do all of that. But the way to do that is to start in December or November, when you know you're going to take office, not wait till May. And then say, oh, we don't have time for this. We have to get Trump's agenda. We are deciding right now whether we're going to go broke. And I'm here to tell you, we ain't going to make it till 2029. We're not. Not like this. Not unless there's some kind of miracle with the economy. In other words, Trump can grow the economy at just a rate nobody has seen in modern times. We used to grow this way all the time when we didn't have government like we do. I mean, this whole budget assumes a GDP growth rate of 4.5 to 5.5%. You think that's going to happen? I mean, look, Trump is really good at goosing an economy. I'm not going to lie to you. He is great at it. If he had 12 years, maybe. But to assume that when you're already watching the bond market wobble, folks, all it took was a tariff negotiation that the market didn't like. Can you imagine if we had a major terror attack like 9/11, a natural disaster, some sort of hiccup somewhere? If the bond market reacts like that to tariffs it doesn't like, that, by the way, it turned out weren't really that damaging. Wow. And what do we get? This is what's so crazy. You go online and all these Trump supporters are out there. Primary Chip Roy, get rid of Ralph Norman. They need to go away. Shut up. All right. That's why it took so much courage to do what he's doing. Texter writes, Tara, have you noticed that Congress has to debate and think and think and debate a tax cut but can increase their budget in about 10 minutes? Texter writes, Tara, why can't Republicans cut the total amount of what DOGE has found out of the reconciliation bill? They need to do something. That's what I'm saying. I'm not even asking for a lot. Like, just show me you can cut $250 billion. That's what, like an eighth of the deficit? Just, that's nothing. Show me you can cut that. They're not even willing to try. They're not even interested. Texter writes, hey, Tara, it hurts every time you say Adderall. My niece bought some on Telegram, on the Telegram app. She died in 2022, right down the street from your studio on Miller Road. It hurts. I am mad. Nothing was ever done. It pisses me off. I hate these bastards. Yeah, that's China. That's a murder by China. And in the massive flood of news that we've had in the last week, and even the massive flood of news just about the negotiations with China, what got missed, and I'm glad the New York Post caught it, was that China admitted they're doing this with the fentanyl and said, we'll stop. As part of the trade deal, we'll stop. We'll stop killing you. We're ready to stop killing you. And again, this is what's so frustrating to me. I did not realize until I interviewed the former head of the DEA for the Washington District. Great guy, has come on the show a couple times. And he's retired now, and all he does is travel the country giving talks. And he's got this poster he takes with him. And I interviewed him live when I was in D.C. For the immigration event that we did every year. And it's pictures of kids who've died of fentanyl. Not adults, kids. You should see the collage. It's just tiny little headshots. It's massive. And the age of them, they're just, I mean, 13, 12, 11, 15, 16, 17. And unfortunately, until this happens to you or you know about it or you learn about it, you think, well, that's just some skeezy drug addict in a homeless camp somewhere. He got some fentanyl, shame on him. He's got a drug addiction. That won't affect me. That's just not the case. I mean, as parents, I mean, my husband and I just had the conversation again with the kids. If your friends are standing around and it's exam time and they're saying, wow, this Adderall helps me here. I already took one. You want one? No, they're fine. I took one. That's how the Chinese do it. If every pill killed you, no one would take them. So it's one. It's one in the pack that you got on Telegram. You take the Adderall on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, you know, and Wednesday nights, pull an all-nighter. You're going to stay, study for your exam. You take it Thursday night, you're dead. You don't have a drug problem. And it used to be my generation, half of us left high school, we've tried pot. That's pretty standard. Every single year, the CDC does that. So we tried pot, weren't that into drugs, didn't escalate it, went on with their lives. Now pot can be laced with this stuff. When I had the sheriff on, he said they have found marijuana laced with fentanyl. He says people have died from it in this county. What? It's not the same as when you were a kid. It's not. This is mass murder. And their offer, they admit they did this? China admits, just casually admits, we might have killed 500,000 of you. 250,000 since 2017. Yeah, we might have. Hey, we'll stop killing you if you, you want to trade with us. I think Rubio is the only one who's got this right. This is it. We need to move out of China. We need to be done with China. We need to crush China beneath our boot. And be done. Let's just get it over with. Let it collapse. Because this is not sustainable. Texture writes, Tara, that's why Trump named the cartels as terrorists. Yes, I thought that reading the article. I thought, wow, the battle against the cartels, and I really hope he starts droning the leaders because we're going to need to wipe them out, is the same battle against the Chinese. That's who put it together. I mean, what China does is they ship the fentanyl ingredients in vats. The cartels mix it. In other words, China makes the ingredients. They put it into Mexico. They put it into Canada in some cases. And then the cartels bring it over. Texter writes, just a couple of months ago, you were saying they had to raise the debt ceiling or the country would be bankrupt even if they... What? I didn't say that. Even if they had to throw money out the window, today they raised the debt ceiling and now it's the worst thing ever. Could y'all please make up? I didn't say that. No, what Trump said was we needed to raise the debt ceiling. And the reason he wanted the debt ceiling raised like in November, December, was so the Democrats couldn't hold it over his head and force him to, sign some awful, awful, awful spending bill that had all their priorities. That's why he wanted the debt ceiling raised. I don't want to raise the debt. I want to cut the debt. And in the end, it didn't matter because this bill's so bad. I mean, Democrats got everything they want. Do you realize half the Green New Deal spending is still in? It's like $400 billion. For what? I mean, what? Folks, the global warming isn't even real. We learned that last week. What are we doing?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.